CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Frank Tiger said, "Progress is not created by contented people." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who create. Our first Playmakers company began as an entrepreneurial effort, while our next Playmaker honed his customer service skills at the Sewell Automotive Companies. With us today is a principal whose company is in the Inc. 500 and Inc. 5000, while our next principal took a leap of faith starting a company that prides themselves on reacting quickly and exceeding expectations. These great Playmakers are Diane Simetz Duncan, principal of Launch, and Mike Pride, founder and principal of Leading Edge Services, and we'll begin today's show with Mike. Mike Pride is the founder and principal of Leading Edge Services, a full-service aircraft appearance maintenance company dedicated to servicing aircraft detailing needs at the highest possible level. Now, Mike is a native Texan, born and raised in the Bryan-College Station area. After earning his Bachelor of Science at Texas A&M University in 1999, Mike moved to Dallas to work for Sewell Automotive Companies, where he honed his customer service skills by working in the service department and collision center. In 2008, Mike took a leap of faith by founding Leading Edge Services, a corporate and private aircraft cleaning company. Leading Edge Services prides themselves on reacting quickly to clients' requests and exceeding their expectations. Mike, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Now, you spent 9 years working with the Sewell companies, and Carl Sewell wrote a book called Customers for Life. So is Customers for Life your mission at Leading Edge Services?
Absolutely it is.
Talk about that. And talk about how taking care of your customers is the most important thing that you do.
Well, it's probably the single largest driver of my business. Day in and day out, our focus is on our customers. And you know, if you lose that focus, you end up in a situation that you don't want to be in. So we always put our customers first.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before the show started as about your business, which is not rocket science, though doing it correctly can be difficult. So what do you take pride in with your people in terms of the way you work with cleaning the aircraft?
Well, the first thing I really take pride in are the people that I've hired. I've got the best team working with me than I've ever had. And I've worked very hard to hire great people. They're smart, they're talented, and they work very hard for our customers.
So when you're looking for a new person, what do you look for? What do you look for in a potential employee?
I look for people who walk with purpose. You can react to body language first. If they're crisp and clean and they're moving with purpose, they're going to do the same in their job. Probably as important or more important than that is I try to find people who are honest.
And that's one of the key elements in having people anyway, having honest people. But the most important is what your customers say about what you do. What do you want them saying about Leading Edge Services after you've done the work for them?
Well, I want them to tell everybody they know that it was the best experience they've had. We showed up on time. We got the job done correctly the first time. And we made the aircraft look the way it should for their principal.
Well, talk about your typical client. What kind of companies do you work with?
You know, it's a range from Fortune 500 companies to private individuals. They have they all have demanding schedules and very, very high expectations. And so we work very, very hard to adapt to that. We shift on the fly a lot, and we have to.
Well, you started the business 9 years ago. How much did you know about cleaning aircraft when you actually started the business, opened the doors?
I honestly I didn't know much about cleaning aircraft, but I had so much knowledge from the automotive industry that it was an easy transition for me. And like you said, it's not rocket science, but there are so many small details that you have to to learn, and I've worked very hard to become an expert on those things.
In 9 years, you've learned a lot. As I say, when the companies begin a business, if I only knew then what I know now. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ahas that you got in those 9 years that you had no idea that you're going to have to deal with?
Well, that's a tough question.
Were there any things that came up or that you had to do that you didn't know was going to be a part of your business?
I think that when you own your own business, the biggest aha moment is when you figure out how to manage your financials correctly. That's one of the largest aha moments I had. And aside from that, I think it's really goes back to the employees and the people you surround yourself with. You know, my biggest aha moment probably came a couple years ago when I started hiring some really outstanding managers to help me grow the business, because I just can't do it all by myself anymore. It's just not possible.
Oh, one person couldn't run the business the way you're running it right now. You do a lot with that that plane. You do interior work, you do exterior work, but what makes Leading Edge Services different from other businesses that clean planes also?
Well, I work very, very hard to react quickly. I'm glued to my phone. It's my lifeline. It's my business. I take every call that I possibly can. If I miss a call, I return it immediately. If something isn't right, we make it right immediately. And responding quickly like that and communicating quickly and effectively with our customers, I think, sets us ahead of everybody else.
Obviously, your job is to do everything correctly and right and perfectly the first time. But as I tell customers, it's not how you take care of customers correctly. It's what you do when something goes wrong and how you jump on that immediately.
Yeah, you have to fall on the sword. The first thing you do is you fall on the sword and accept responsibility and apologize. An apology has to be some of the first words out of your mouth when you're faced with that situation. So you start there, and then you find out from the client what it takes to, A, make it right for them, and then, B, keep their business.
Well, you have a in-depth belief of customer service. That's what's running your business. You work for the Sewell companies, too, for about 9 years. How is that drilled into you when you're working there?
Well, it becomes a way of life at some point.
So everybody else is doing the same thing, correct?
Yeah, I think so. It becomes second nature. So you constantly put the customer first. And one small thing that I learned working at Sewell that has really helped me, and it's, you know, Mr. Sewell wrote about it in his book, but if there's something and it's within about $500 that you have to spend to make it right, you just spend the money and you make it right for them. And then you step back and think, well, would I spend $500 to get their business to start with? And the answer is always that you would. So you go back and you do it.
$500 is a very small amount to pay for the difference in keeping or losing that business.
It is.
So you're doing absolutely the right thing. You've had people have impacted you. Have you had any specific mentor or somebody that influenced you in business and in your life up to this point?
You know, it's hands down my dad. My dad and I have a great relationship. He is he's the smartest guy I know. And I'm very lucky to have him as a mentor and a hero and somebody to look up to in life and in business. And it's great that I can call him and ask for his advice because, you know, when I was a teenager, that probably wasn't the case. But he's right pretty much every time.
It's amazing how much knowledge fathers gain from teenage years until you get into business.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're smarter.
He's the smartest guy I know.
You've been in business now for 9 years. You've learned a lot. This is almost like getting your PhD in running a business from doing what you've done. Is there any advice that you'd give to somebody that wants to start their own business too from the very beginning in terms of what they're going to have to look for in building a business and taking care of customers?
Well, the first thing I would tell somebody to do is to look for something that they can be very passionate about. And I'm not talking about turning a hobby into a career because sometimes that doesn't work, but find something that you're really going to enjoy, it can be passionate about for a long time, and then become an expert at it. When you're an expert on something, you can communicate so much more effectively with a customer. And that's the starting point. The next step would be to have your financials in line, and be prepared. Be prepared to do this for 3 years before it really becomes a career, at least from a financial standpoint.
Let's go back to that, because we were talking at the beginning before we started, and you started your business in 2008, which is one of the worst times you probably could have started a business, as low as the economy was back then. Tell everybody what you told me as far as why that was a great time to start a business.
Well, aviation, corporate and private aviation at that time was the lowest it had been in years, for probably a couple decades. And there were some barriers to entry to starting the business to start with, but a lot of people thought I was crazy for wanting to go out and do this during, you know, hard financial times. And the reality is that I was starting at zero. So I felt like it was a good idea so that when the economy did pick up, our business, our company was ready to go. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, your business is all based on customer service. That's also molded your leadership style. So how did you develop your leadership style from going from a one-man operation when you opened the doors 9 years ago to, 17 or 18 people work for you now?
That's the hardest part that I've struggled with. And you have to let go. And it goes back to who you hire and who you surround yourself with. I've got three of the best managers I've ever had, and they have allowed me to let go and to assign that responsibility to them and to delegate that effectively. That's the key to doing it. And it's also a mindset you have to have. If you're going to grow, you can't do everything yourself. You have to assign those responsibilities to others and trust that they're going to take care of you and take care of the customer and your clients.
Absolutely. So is there any one big factor in your success outside of customer service that's caused you to have the success you've had?
I love my job.
That says it right there.
Yeah, I love every day. And I joke around with some people sometimes, but every day for me seems like a Friday. I love going to work every single day. I love the flexibility. I love the freedom. I love my employees. I love my customers. I'm a lucky guy, and that's the biggest part of my success.
Yeah, the way I say it is, it's waking up every morning is Christmas morning when you wake up like that and
that's
really
right.
Enjoy yourself.
Absolutely,
have a good time. So tell everybody where they can find out more about Leading Edge Services.
Well, probably the quickest way to find us is on the internet at www.leadingedgeservices.com.
And that's also on our website, which is playmakerstalkshow.com, with your phone number too. Mike, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Mike is the founder and principal of Leading Edge Services. Again, leadingedgeservices.com. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with one of the principals of Launch. Her name is Diane Simons Duncan. Back with Diane right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about creativity and advertising. Diane Simons Duncan started life as a copywriter at Dallas ad agency Tracy Locke, working on Frito-Lay, Tabasco brand, pepper sauce, KinderCare, and Phillips Petroleum. Her second stop was Timmerman McLean, now TM Advertising, where she plied her creative craft on the likes of American Airlines, Bank of America, JCPenney, and Subaru. Diane founded Launch in 1999 as an entrepreneurial effort inside Timmerman McLean, with partners David Wilgus and Michael Boone spinning off as an independent in 2003. The group was behind Match.com, GroceryWorks.com, and Hotels.com, and the relaunch of Eatsy's Market and Bakery. Today, this Inc. 500 and Inc. 5000 fastest-growing business continues to lend its marketing talents to Park Place Luxury Automotive Dealerships, Borden Dairy, Interstate Batteries, Baylor Scott & White Health, the Town of Addison, and others. They also launched their own business, Headspace Dallas, a creative co-working space in International Business Park in far north Dallas. We'll talk about all those, but Diane, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
Why did you and your partner start that entrepreneurial business inside Timmerman McLean a few years back?
Well, we had an opportunity. We were freelancing, which was okay in those days. A friend of ours had a crazy idea to do a grocery delivery service online. Now, this was in 1999. You might remember it was the dot-com boom.
Yeah.
And Dave, my partner, David Wilgus, we had recently launched several years back AA.com for American Airlines. So we were fascinated with
this
is
on the cutting edge of the dot-coms.
It was. And so at night, we were working at night, even though we had six kids between us, not married to other people. And so we had launched that. And for those of folks who were living in Dallas at the time, they might remember these cute little fruits and vegetables on trucks and on billboards. And it got really big, really fast. So we decided we would tell our management at the agency we needed some help. So we brought that business inside of our agency, and they allowed us to start this business we named Launch, and that's how we begat that business.
So was your business primarily dot-coms that you were focusing on back then?
It did start with many, and you know, the traditional advertising agency was such, it was large, it was very, there were a lot of layers, it really wasn't structured in order to handle the speed at which these fast-growth businesses were, you know, they were just blowing up. So a smaller agency like ours, Launch, was able to handle that and move very quickly, be creative with ideas, and handle that kind of growth. So,
well, thinking back to what was that, 17 years ago, did any stories pop up in terms of anything that happened with those clients at the time?
It was just a very exciting time. And one of the things, because we were seasoned professionals, we were able to get smart quickly and use our strategic abilities and the tools that we had in order to help them grow intelligently. As you probably remember, you know, so much was happening. There was eToys and Pets.com and so forth that were happening. But I think we were able to bring together the seasoned experience that we had and some of the protocols and processes and put those into place to help them get up and running successfully. That was the start of what became our own independent business several years later.
In listening to what you've had to say, you sound like, and your partners have a specific direction you're going. So what is the Launch mission?
The Launch, and when we say, you know, launching is not just for startups. It's really a mindset. And if you use these processes and protocols, you have an opportunity to be successful. And, you know, Fortune did a study in 2015, and I hate to be a Debbie Downer here, but, you know, most new businesses and even products inside larger businesses fail. They simply do. And that is because, and I guess our aha moment when we talk about that was oftentimes the most senior people, the people with the experience to help you get to the next level, they're locked up on the biggest pieces of business in those advertising agencies and marketing companies. You know, we were working on Bank of America. We were working on JCPenney and Subaru and so forth. We weren't working on the smaller startup businesses or the businesses that the relaunches, as we like to say, you know, our wholly owned subsidiary. So it's very difficult if you don't have a gigantic budget to hire people like us to work on your business. And so our idea was, if we could help the smaller businesses, the businesses that need help the most, they would have a better chance for success, and that's why we do it.
And hence you grow with them as they grow.
We do. But that is our fervent dream. So, yes, it is. That's our practice.
And I would think also working as a company like that, a startup company, that you almost become a part of that company you're launching.
We do. We're very, very invested, and all of our clients are our friends. You know, it's like being in a foxhole together, right? And we get very tight with them, and we're entrepreneurs just like they are.
It's difficult to lose a customer when you're working with them so closely.
Oh, yes, it happens. But sometimes what happens is they get very successful and their needs grow. But oftentimes they stay with us a very, very long time, and we feel blessed by that.
So is there a specific profile of a successful launch or a relaunch client that you work with?
I think there is. I think that those clients that turn out to be a success value the customer, and they really understand the need for rigor. They understand that by going to serving the needs of their clients is the way that they're going to be successful. Now, entrepreneurs, if any of you people listening know that to have a vision is the most important thing. You have to have a great idea, but it also has to meet the needs, somebody willing to pay for it. That's a basic premise. So part of that Fortune study was the first reason why businesses fail, that there's no market need for that product or service. So that's a very important thing. Then they run out of money trying to push that market product onto someone else. So our recommendation is, when you have a great idea, let's go out there and see who really wants it. Usually there actually is a group of people who do, but you can spend a lot of time and money trying to find out who they are. So targeting is a very important part of that process, and we help our clients find that person or group of people out first.
Speaking with Diane Simons-Duncan, she's a principal at Launch. Their website is launchagency.com. But let me ask you about Launch. Who came up with that name and why Launch?
I think that bubbled up naturally, probably over a beer and some nachos.
Is that how it works?
It kind of does, or Chinese lunch somewhere. You know, I hate to say, but food is very intrinsic to the creative process. You probably know that.
You have a secret sauce in terms of what you do. I think you've talked a little bit about that indirectly over the last couple of minutes. But how do you work? How do you work with your clients?
It's a fairly formal process protocol, which you might think flies in the face of the entrepreneurial way, which is, you know, I like it because it's purple. We call it the three C's. We start off with the three C's, which is really we get to know the customer or our client very well, because if the marketing that we come up with doesn't feel right to them, it's never going to work, right? So in Mike's business, if everybody in the organization doesn't feel good about the marketing and advertising that we come up with, it's not going to be adopted, period. Then we do a deep dive into the competition. And sometimes it's direct competition. Sometimes it's the competition is just doing nothing at all. Something, it's just not getting your plane washed, okay? And then also the customer or the client, the end user, really understanding who they are, what their thoughts are. One of my close friends, Lucy Crow Billingsley, has a wonderful phrase, the unarticulated need. Sometimes people don't even tell you exactly what they're thinking and feeling, but they feel it. And so rooting that out and putting those three things together is the creamy center of the strategy, and we start there. And all of the marketing and advertising efforts are founded on that platform where they come together, and that's how we guide our clients to get. If you've ever seen a great television commercial, or you've heard a wonderful radio spot, or seen a print ad, at its core, it's founded at the nexus of those three things.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you have been in advertising for a number of years, starting with Tracy Locke, and you've been a leader to your clients no matter what company you're working with. But how did you develop your leadership style?
Really from unbelievably great mentors. I worked for a woman named Diane Fannin, who's at the Richards Group right now, and She's just an incredible person, an inspiration to me. I have a fabulous client at Park Place, Ken Schnitzer, Neil Grossman, Jordan Case, Gary Venner. They're best in class at the operation that they run. We were talking earlier about Sewell. They're amazing people. They run an incredible business integrity, and they've inspired me. So I feel very, very fortunate to be around wonderful people my entire career.
Now, is this a business for women or for men or for both?
I'd say for both. Not a tremendous number of women in my business, but I feel fortunate to be one of them, and I hope to be an inspiration for those who come after me.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. How did you get into advertising?
Well, I wasn't a traditional advertising person. I graduated with a degree in theater, but I always liked to write. I was a writer ever since I was a little girl. I think when I was about seven, I wrote Baskin Robbins because I had an idea for an ice cream cone promotion. But I think that anybody who is creative has an opportunity to be in our business. And we say at launch, anyone can be creative. We just had a project for the wonderful Dallas Winds, and we had several account people who are incredibly talented over there along with a designer and put together some just kick-butt posters that are going to be coming up for next year. So everybody has creativity inside of them, and it is our job to help facilitate that.
It's creativity and also having fun, too. Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about the Launch Agency on the Internet.
Yep, please come visit us at launchagency.com, and you're welcome to stop by our offices around George Bush and Midway. And Friday afternoons, we have wine downs with beer and chips, so join us. And
you may have just opened yourself up to a big party.
That's right. We're always open for brainstorming. So.
And that's one way to do it. Well, Diane, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It was fun. Thank you so much.
Diane Simons-Duncan is a principal at Launch. The website, again, is launchagency.com. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.